Praise God. So we're talking about soteriology, of course, the series that we're doing at the moment, which of course is the doctrine of salvation. Some people have been listening. Awesome. On a fourth week. Thought you'd know that by now. Anyway, so we're doing the doctrine. Soteriology, just, you know, it's got a Greek word. But it means the doctrine of salvation. Ology means a study of, or the study of salvation. So we're unpacking, aren't we? And kind of another name for this topic is Jesus. Jesus saves. Because Christology, which is all about Jesus, is now we're unpacking salvation. Jesus saves. Obviously, we've just been talking about the cross and taking communion together. But what our salvation actually is? What is it that Jesus has actually done for us? And what Jesus has done is extraordinary. Amen. What he is, what he won for us through the cross, through the death, and his resurrection is amazing. We need to understand the reality and the power and the all that Jesus won for us. Amen. If we're going to live as, you know, effective Christians and be the people that God wants us to be, we need to fully understand it. Amen. But comprehend it and have a revelation of it, of exactly what Jesus did for us. So we've been looking at all the things that God has done for us and given to us through the cross by saving us. You know, it's our heart's desire not to neglect such a great salvation. That's what scripture we've been looking at, but to live in the good of the salvation that we have. So far in the first 3 weeks, we've covered all big topics. We've covered forgiveness, we've covered justification, and last week we covered reconciliation when Dan spoke. Okay, and now we're going to look at another key aspect, and that is our redemption. We're talking about our redemption. Amen. So I'm going to unpack what that means. So as with all the others, remember, this is all about what Jesus has done, not about what we can do. We have to understand that. You know, we're a Protestant church, we're Protestant Christians. I'm just saying that to say, you know, we understand that we're not in any way saved by works. It's completely because of Jesus, what Jesus did. Now, Ephesians 2, verse 9, is so clear. You know, it's not that anyone should boast. It's a completely free gift. That's what grace is. And grace means unmerited favor. We did not even merit. We don't deserve it. Well, yes, that's reality. We didn't deserve it. It's completely favor from God. Everyone agree? Amen? And we cannot in any way earn it through works. Yes, it's true that faith without works is dead. Faith should produce works. That's true. And if you read the next verse from Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says we're God's handiwork, created to do good works in Christ Jesus. So we're created to do good works, absolutely right, and faith without works is dead. Our faith should produce works in us, absolutely, but they do not in any way save us. That makes sense? Okay, so we need to be clear on that. We cannot earn God's salvation. If you had to try and earn God's salvation, where would you even start, right? What's the starting place for that? To try and to meet God's standard. It's a completely free gift. Amen? We cannot earn it. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. So we're going to unpack redemption. So what the term redemption, what it implies is that something's been paid. What the word redemption literally means is that something has been paid for or bought back. Often it was used in, and obviously slavery is an awful thing. It's been an awful thing in history, and slavery still exists in certain parts of the world. Slavery is an awful thing. But the terminology was often used of a slave who'd been set free from through the payment of a ransom, when a slave had been bought back and then was free again. Okay, so that's kind of the essence of redemption, or paying off a debt. If you've been in a blessed position to pay off your mortgage, you know you have to redeem your mortgage. That's literally what it's called. You ask your bank or your building society, you ask for it's called a redemption statement. I don't know, I used to work in a bank. It was something that people used to ask for all the time. It's a redemption statement. It basically says everything you owe. And if you pay this amount, including all the fees and all the other stuff they love to add on, then finally your mortgage will be cleared. You no longer have this debt, and the house you live in is you know, fully yours. Okay, the mortgage has been redeemed, so it can be used about in a sense of a slave that's been set free, you know, or a debt that's been paid off. Amen. You know, and that's what Jesus has done for us. Let's unpack that. In the dictionary, it says to redeem is to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. Amen? So it's paying off a debt or buying something, okay? Or gain possession or regain possession of. Romans 3, verse 21 is a really key verse, or 21 to 24. It talks about where we've been, all the things we've been unpacking so far, and then moves into redemption. Romans 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Remember, when the scripture says the law and the prophets, it means it's referring to the Old Testament. Okay, in Jesus' time, they didn't call it the Old Testament, and the New Testament, that's what we call it now. Okay, so when they're talking about the law and the prophets, they're talking about the Old Testament. Okay, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. So it covers everybody. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So all of us are justified. And we've talked about that a couple of weeks ago. A justification. It's this justification that makes us righteous. We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. So the word redeem, as we said, it means to buy out, and often used as a term of, in terms of slaves being set free. You know, the scripture says that we actually were slaves. This is what Jesus has literally done for us. We weren't, I don't think any of us were natural slaves, okay, but we were spiritual slaves, right? And we've been completely set free because of what Jesus has done. We've been bought out. You know, if we are redeemed people, then our prior condition must be one of slavery. Everyone agree, right? So God has purchased our freedom, and we are no longer, what great news this is, we are no longer in bondage to sin or the Old Testament law. Galatians 5 verse 1, it's not on screen, but it says it's freedom that Christ has set us free. No longer to be subject to the yoke of slavery. We were slaves to sin, and in a dominion of darkness, which is where we were pre-Christ, we were slaves to sin and slaves to the Old Testament law. And what I mean by the slaves to the Old Testament law, because of course it was God's idea, the Old Testament law, but the reality of the Old Testament law is you could never meet the standards of it. And that wasn't because God like came up with something and like, oh, that doesn't quite work, okay? The principle of the Old Testament law was to point to the reality that we could not ever meet those standards. We had to have a Savior. There had to be a once and for all sacrifice, amen, to pay the price for that. Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish the law, amen? Galatians 4, verse 4 to 5 says, but when the time set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Amen? And we're going to spend a whole week at the end of the series talking about what it means that we're adopted into God's family. Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole or hung on a tree. And that's obviously referring to the cross. Yeah. Cursed is everyone who's hung on a pole. The curse of the law is that we could never meet its standards. It was there for a reason. It was God's plan for the law, but you could never live up to the standards of it. That's why they used to sacrifice animals, didn't they? And animals would pay the price and atone for their sins. But Jesus came to be the once and for all sacrifice. Amen? We are redeemed people. We've been bought up. We were slaves, but now we're free. Amen? Because Jesus has paid the ransom price. Yeah, and what has brought us back, as we've just been taking communion, we've been brought back through his blood. So we need to understand that we've been brought back, and we need to understand how Jesus brought us back. We've been brought back through his precious blood. Jesus paid the price for our release from sin and its punishment. His death was in exchange for our life. This was a divine exchange of the cross, amen? Through Jesus' death, he brought us spiritual life, amen? It was like it was divine exchange taking place. His life for our life. That's how much Jesus values you. The scripture is very, very clear that redemption is only possible through his blood. It is only possible through his sacrifice, through his death. So his blood was that ransom payment. So like slaves, there'd be a payment to set them free. There was a ransom payment that needed to be paid, and Jesus paid that through his precious blood. That was the payment. The scripture says that we've been bought at a price, and an incredibly high price, of God sending his son, the biggest price he could possibly pay. Amen. That's worth getting an amen. Praise God. His death was an exchange for our life. Matthew 20, 24 to 28. It says this, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Basically, they'd been like squabbles amongst the disciples, as there often was, bless them, about basically who was the greatest. And two of them in particular, James and John, like, oh, I wonder if we're going to be the greatest. Anyway, so when the other 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and the high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave." And this is the, and that's a kind of a great message in themselves up to that point. But this is the real kind of bit to hit home on verse 28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Giving his life as a ransom payment to set us free from the slavery that we had to sin. To set us free from the dominion of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of his Son. Amen. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 to 6 says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." Praise God. Colossians 1 verse 13 to 14 just touched on this. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of a son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Praise God. You know, just like a mortgage is a debt, isn't it? And at some point, and hopefully sooner rather than later, depending on the financial circumstances, it will be paid off and it will be redeemed. But that's the reality. There's the debt of sin. Sin itself was a debt, wasn't it? The debt is like a thing that hung over us. It's this debt thing. How could we ever repay this? And we couldn't have ever repaid it. So Jesus paid the price instead for that debt to be fully paid off and redeemed. Redemption is based on Jesus' perfect work and sacrifice, and is something received by us through faith alone, as we mentioned earlier. Redemption is something that's initiated by God and are not initiated by us. Everything that's good is initiated by God. You know, the scripture says we love because he first loved us. God always takes the first initiative. God always makes the first move. Amen. Praise God. Romans 5 verse 8, Paul writes, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. It's a demonstration of his love. Him buying us back, is paying that price, paying the ransom price, setting us free from in our spiritual slavery that we're in bondage to sin. It all was a demonstration of his incredible love. Amen. If you're ever not sure about how much God loves you, always remember, always go back to the cross. We've been bought at a price. There couldn't have been a bigger price. That's how much Jesus loves you. It was his life for your life. Amen. He couldn't have given any more. Praise God. So his redemption, it provides complete freedom from slavery, and every debt is owed for full payment, given the payment of his blood. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 20 says this, "For we know it is not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sakes." So redeemed by the precious blood of God. This lamb, this perfect lamb that takes away the sin of the world, is how John the Baptist described Jesus when he first started his ministry, this lamb without blemish or defect. And of course, this all goes back to Passover. If you know your Jewish calendars, you'll know that Jesus is celebrating Passover at the moment. Often coincides with Easter, but because of all the kind of intricacies of how calendars are calculated, the Jewish Passover didn't meet up at the same time as Easter this year. Anyway, so Jesus celebrating Passover this week at the moment. You know, and of course that's what happened at the that was the last of the 10 plagues, when it had been God's plan to release the Israelites, and they were in natural slavery, weren't they? They were slaves for 400 years. They became numerous, and Pharaoh, who was like the greatest king on the planet at the time, the king of Egypt, and kind of the Egyptian Empire, and all they did was very fearful of the Jews, and they became very numerous, and so he brought them under, or kind of made them all slaves, and they built some of the Egyptian cities that are still there today, were built by off the backs of Israelite slaves. But God had this plan to set them free, amen, and to bring them into the promised land. And of course, you can read all about this in Exodus, and how called Moses' brother Aaron, and how they were used together, to see that happen. Of course, it's Joshua and Caleb who lead them into the promised land eventually, after a long period of time. But they do get there, praise God. And there's all these kind of different plagues that happen, isn't there? And they're all assigned to Pharaoh, like, if you don't let my people go, then this is what's going to happen to you. And Moses kept warning them over and over. Or Aaron, Moses didn't really like public speaking, does it? It tells us all this. So Aaron would speak for him and would tell Pharaoh, these are all the things that are going to happen if you don't let my people go. And Pharaoh kept hardening his heart. And God was actually making him harden his heart. Scripture tells us that. Because God wanted to be glorified in it all, for the Egyptians to see his power and to also destroy the Egyptians, which ends up happening as they cross the Red Sea, or after they cross the Red Sea. So anyway, so the last of the 10 plagues was, of course, when the angel of death passes over, hence the name Passover, where it comes from. The angel of death passes over. And the Jews, what they had to do was had to find the best lamb that they had or had to purchase. They didn't have many men or all owned sheep, right? They had to go and purchase the best lamb that they possibly could. It said it had to be spotless or as perfect as they could find. And they would sacrifice the lamb, and then they would use the blood, and they would paint it on their doorpost. Everyone knows the story, right? You can read about this in Exodus. Okay, this is what Jews are celebrating, you know, this very week. You know, how God protected the Israelites during that time. And of course, it's all connected with Jesus, and Jesus ultimately fulfilling this. The day before Jesus' crucifixion, on the Thursday, they were having the Passover meal together. And everything we've just done is communion. That was initiated on as part of the Passover meal. All these things are connected because, this is, you know, God had always intended to connect all this together. Amen? So the whole point of Passover itself was to point towards Jesus. It was to point to the fact that there's going to be a once and for all sacrifice. And the price is going to be paid. And that's going to bring about your healing and your restoration and your redemption and your protection. All those things that the lamb sacrifice led to, as God protected them from the angel of death. And if you know what happened in that plague, or the firstborn in Egypt died. For all the firstborn cattle, all the firstborn humans, and every single family in the Egyptian side, they all died. But in the Israelite side, they were all protected, you know, by the blood they put upon the doorposts. But it was all to point towards Jesus, and that he was going to ultimately fulfill this. He was, go back to 1 Peter 1, verse 19, we have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us, but with the precious blood of Christ we've been redeemed, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus was this perfect lamb, the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. What Jesus has done for us. So our worth and the fullness of our freedom is found in what the Father has paid for us. He could not have paid a higher a price. You know, and there are so many benefits to the fact that we are redeemed people. If you're a believer this morning, you are totally redeemed. You're totally set free. Remember, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus said that himself. He doesn't do half measures. He doesn't do half jobs. You're not 50% saved, 60% saved, 99% saved. You're fully saved. Amen. Fully redeemed, fully made whole, fully forgiven, fully righteous, fully holy, and all because of what he has done. Amen. Praise God for that. What an amazing Savior we have. All because of what Jesus has done. Remember, it's grace. Remember, it's a gift of grace. It's unmerited favor. It's a favor of God, but we didn't deserve it. But he's given it to us anyway. As his gift, as is his right. Amen? So there's so many benefits of redemption. There's, I haven't got time to go into detail every single one, but there's 8 benefits I'm going to mention. And the scriptures won't all be on screen, but some scriptures I mentioned. So if you're taking notes, write these down. So one of the benefits of redemption, of course, is eternal life. Amen? John 3:16, it makes that so clear. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Revelation 5, verses 9 to 10, again, talks about this. The reality that when we leave, we're eternal beings, aren't we? Yeah. That we're spiritual beings, and one day this body, this tent, as the Apostle Paul describes it, okay? I wonder whether you're happy with the size of your tent, okay? But we all live in a tent, right? Maybe your tent's getting a bit old, got a few holes in. Maybe Colin, it's a bit wrinkly, is it, Colin? The tent these days. You know, but we live in a tent, but the spirit of who we are is going to live forever. Right? And this tent, and we're going to get a brand new body in heaven as well. Scripture says, praise God for that. Praise God for that. I'm getting their demands in, writing a list now, aren't I? I want it to look like this. Anyway, but as a spirit of who we are, we'll live forever, right? And we know the reality of that. It can be eternity without God, which the Bible describes as hell, a horrible existence, because it's everything that could possibly exist, but without God. What a horrible existence. But through Jesus, we have the promise of eternal life with him forever. Amen. Praise God for that. So one benefit of redemption. Number two, forgiveness of sins. Of course, we spent a whole week on this. Ephesians 1 verse 7 is a great scripture for that. This is a benefit of redemption, the benefit of that our debt has been paid, is that we're totally washed clean, made new. It's the blood of Jesus itself, as we talked about, is a redemption price, the ransom price. It's his blood that washes us clean. Amen. Number three, we're completely righteous in his sight. Again, we spent a whole week on that. Romans 5 verse 17. We're free. We have complete freedom from the curse of the law, the fact that we couldn't meet God's standards. We're now totally free from that, free from sin and free from the curse of the law. Amen. Galatians 3 verse 13. Number five, we've been adopted into the family of God. We mentioned this earlier, Galatians 4 verse 5. Amen. We've been brought into God's family. We're all each other's spiritual brothers and sisters, and Jesus himself is our spiritual brother. Amen. Being brought into God's family, we've been adopted into God's family. Amen. You have to kind of understand this in the context of Jewish law, and we'll talk about this more when we talk about being adopted into God's family in a few weeks' time. But understand Jewish law, whereas if you were adopted, you had exactly the same rights as someone who was naturally born. That's how Jewish law worked, and very much how our own, I suppose, UK law works as well in terms of adoption. But certainly very much under Jewish law, you had exactly the same rights. It was no different than whether you were naturally born or you'd been legally adopted. It was identical. You know, that's what God has done for us. He's adopted us, brought us into God's family. Number six, we've got deliverance from sin's bondage. Sin no longer has any power over us. It no longer has any authority over us. And we may still mess up in our lives from time to time. That's inevitable, okay? But what we don't have is a sin nature. Everyone agree? And our nature to sin has been dealt with. Our sinful nature was nailed to the cross with Jesus. We now have God's nature within us. We still mess up. We still do things we shouldn't do. We know that there's provision for that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. And just, yes, we might need to put things right with God, but we're delivered from sin's bondage, the bondage of sin. We're no longer under the nature to do things that God wouldn't want us to do. Amen? Number seven, we have totally... some scriptures for that one, for number six. Titus 2, verse 14. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 to 18. Number seven, we have peace with God. Amen. Aren't you glad you've got peace with God? Colossians 1, verse 18 to 20 talks about that. Because of his redemption, because he's brought us back, we have totally peace with him. Amen. There's no longer any wrath upon us because of what Jesus has done. And number eight, and there could be other benefits, but these are the eight looking at this morning. And number eight is we now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. As 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. Don't forget, later in the year, we're going to do a whole another series on pneumatology. Another long word, okay? But that means the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, okay? So we're going to do that, I think it's going to be around September, okay? So that's going to be great as well, okay? But that's another one of the benefits of redemption, is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, amen? Understand the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that where we go, the Holy Spirit goes, amen? And the Holy Spirit empowers us and equips us and produces the fruit of the Spirit in us and the gifts of the Spirit as he wills. Amen? And praise God for that. The 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20 tells us that. Praise God. Isn't it great news that we're redeemed? Isn't it amazing news? I just want to tell this little story. It's really a story, just this little kind of like sermon illustration, but it kind of really blessed me. Talks about the reality of what redemption has done for us. It says this: there's a story of a little boy who built a model sailing boat. So he built the sail, and he had it all fixed up, tarred and painted. And then the boy took this model sailing boat that he'd made. He took it to the lake and he pushed it, hoping it would sail. Sure enough, a whisper breeze filled the little sail, and it billowed and went rippling along the waves. Suddenly, before the little boy knew it, the boat was out of his reach, even though he waded in fast and tried to grab it. As he watched the boat float away, he hoped maybe the breeze would shift and it would sail back to him. But instead, he watched it go further and further until it was gone. When he went home crying, his mum asked, "What's wrong? Didn't your sailboat work?" And he said, "Well, it worked too well." Sometime later, the little boy was kind of in his high street, and he walked past a second-hand store, and there in the window he saw his boat. It was unmistakably his. So he went in and said to the owner, "That's my boat." He walked to the window, picked it up, and started to leave with it. Now, the owner of the shop said, "Wait a minute, Sonny, that's my boat. I bought it from someone else." The boy said, no, you don't understand. It's my boat. I made it. See, and he showed the shopkeeper the little scratches and the marks that where he'd hammered it and filed it and put it together. The man said, "I'm sorry, boy, if you want it, you're going to have to pay for it." The poor little guy, he didn't have any money, but he worked hard and he saved his pennies over time. Finally, one day, he had enough money for the boat. He went in and bought his little boat back. As he left the store, holding the boat close to him, he was heard saying, "You're my boat. You're twice my boat. First, you're my boat because I made you, and second, you're my boat because I bought you." You know, this is the reality. This is the reality of redemption. This is the reality of what Jesus did for us. We are twice his. We were made by Jesus, and we were purchased by Jesus. We're twice his. So he didn't just make us. We know we're God's handiwork, as we talked about earlier, Ephesians 2, 9 and 10. We're God's handiwork. We're created by him, but we've also been bought back by him. We're twice his. That really blessed me, moved me emotionally, as you can tell. But it's amazing. We're twice his. Praise God. So just kind of the final thing to leave you with, you know, as redeemed people, do we understand our story of redemption? Do we understand what God has done in our lives? And just kind of a challenge to leave you with is, are we telling people, other people, about what God has done in our lives, how he's redeemed us? No, we all have a redemption story. We all have totally different backgrounds. Everyone here who's a believer this morning, you've got totally different backgrounds and ethnicities and countries you grew up in and totally different stories. And some of you brought up in Christian homes, and some of you in homes that definitely were anything but Christian. Okay, so you've got a whole load of different backgrounds here, but we all have a redemption story, amen? Psalm 107, verse 2 to 8 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands on the east and the west and the north and the south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." So let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So I just want to leave you with that challenge. Let's be a people who understand what it means that we've been redeemed. What that means that Jesus paid the price for us, his precious blood. He has bought us back. We're twice his. We're made by him and we've been bought by him. We've been bought at a price. Amen. The slavery of sin has been broken. Our bondage to sin has been broken once and for all. He has paid the price to set us free from slavery. We need to be people that understand that we're fully set free and restored and redeemed. No longer slaves, no longer under a sinful nature, but under God's nature, brought out of one dominion of darkness and brought into a kingdom of his Son. Amen. But we also need to be people, as we understand, that are willing to share that story. Because, you know, if we look around at the world and in your neighborhoods and the news, what you can see is this world, it desperately needs redemption. Amen? You know, it's clearer now than it's ever been in history, and it's always been true. But our world needs redemption. People need redemption. People need to meet Jesus. Amen? People need to encounter Jesus and to be set free. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are redeemed people. Lord, where would we be, Lord, without your redemption? Lord, where would we be, Lord, if you hadn't paid the price for us? Lord, where would we be if you hadn't set us free? Lord, we would still be in bondage to sin. Lord God, we would still be living under our sinful nature. We would be just like people out in the world who are just lost. Like sheep without a shepherd, as you described them. Lord, that's the way, Lord, that we would be. That's the way we were, Lord, before we knew you. We were sheep without a shepherd. We were just going with the flow. We were just doing what the world did. We didn't know any different, Lord God, but we've encountered you. Lord, we've encountered your grace, the unmerited favor. Lord, we understand we are redeemed people, and I pray you just give us an even deeper revelation of that, what your redemption means for our lives. Lord God, we're not in bondage to sin. On bondage to our sinful nature, we're completely set free. We're whole. Lord God, that we're twice yours. Lord, you bought us, Lord, what an incredible just kind of illustration that is of your love. We're twice yours. You made us and you brought us back. Lord, that's your incredible love for us and all the benefits of redemption, eternal life, forgiveness, righteousness, freedom from the curse of the law, deliverance from bondage, peace with you, indwelling of the Holy Spirit and adoption into your family. Lord, that's all because of what you've done and that monumental price that you paid to set us free and to buy us back. Lord, we're so thankful. And I pray we'll be a people, Lord God, that will share our redemption story. Lord, we want every single person, Lord, in our neighbourhoods, our communities, our workplaces, our schools, our colleges, our universities, Lord, wherever we find our streets, Lord, wherever we find ourselves, our families, Lord, that may not know you. Lord, our friends that may not know you. Lord, we want them to know your redemption. And I pray you just give us opportunities, Lord, to share our redemption story. Lord, as it says in Psalm 107, as we read, Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those you redeemed from the hand of the foe, you've set us free. Lord, give us such boldness and courage. Give us opportunities, Lord, even this week, Lord, to speak into people's lives and give us opportunities to share the story of how you have redeemed us, how you've restored us, and what you have done. Lord, help us to bring good news, the good news of your gospel, Lord, to a lost and dying world. Lord, you're so amazing. Thank you for redeeming us. We worship you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Amen. Amen.